And Tadi says, Hashem should help us because I'm too weak to run away. And the kid is saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Hakeinu, Hashem Echad. And Abdullah comes and all of a sudden they see he doesn't have a terribly mean look on his face. He says, I think it over and I look out my window and I see you here in the bark. Why you don't come now with me into my big palace and I give you a room for one night? I don't even make you pay no money because after all, the room is empty anyway. So I give it to you. I don't make you pay. It is empty anyway. Come with me. I give you room in mine house. But of course, in the morning early, you leave. You go back to the bark. And Kenilaf, the little kiddies were so happy that they get to sleep in a room, in a house. And the Tati and the mommy went. They were not exactly sure what's going to happen over there. They didn't trust this Abdullah. But they had no choice. It seemed the best thing for the kids. But they felt this would be the best for their children. And so they went now inside the house of Abdullah. And Abdullah thinks to himself, let me see, let me pick which room to give you. Now, Abdullah had big, beautiful rooms that were empty, that had nice beds in them. But Abdullah walked past those rooms, and he picked the small room that had no furniture and no beds. It was just an empty room. He says, here's a room for you. You could sleep here on the floor. Well, they were just happy to be inside and not outside, even if they're going to sleep on the floor. And the children and the wife and the man, the Tati, they lay down to go to sleep on the floor. And Abdullah goes back to his room and goes in his bed. And he has a big smile on his face, feeling so happy with himself and so proud of himself that he did such a good thing, that he gave the family a room in his house. And he's so proud, thinking how wonderful he is and how good he is. And he fell, of course, asleep. A very nice sleep. Sleeping like a baby. Abdullah was sleeping like a baby. Speaking about babies, well, no, we shouldn't even connect him with what's going on now. All of a sudden, Kenilaf, as the children fell asleep in the room, the Tati was trying to fall asleep in the room. We know that the mommy was expecting a baby, and she was in her 9th month. What happens if a mommy is expecting a baby, and it's the 9th month? What could happen? You know what could happen? She starts. What could happen? Who could tell me what could happen?
Baby comes out.
She could start to have the baby. Well, the baby just doesn't come out like that. She goes into labor, which means she feels in herself slowly that the baby is going to become born. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, the mommy says to the Tati, I feel contractions. I feel like I'm going into labor, that the baby will be born soon, probably tonight. Well, Kenilach, they're in the house of Abdullah in that room, and the mommy is going into labor. Well, sometimes the contraction can stop and go away, but they were getting stronger and stronger. And in fact, they were getting stronger very fast. Well, at first the Tati said, I have to run out and find somebody to help us to have the baby. In those days, they used a midwife, like a lady doctor that comes, and she goes to help the mommy to have the baby. They didn't go to the hospital, but the special helper, the midwife, would come to the mommy who's going to have the baby. Well, at first, the Tati wanted to run out, but he was afraid he's going to disturb But he was afraid that if he's going to run out of the house, maybe he will wake up Abdullah, and Abdullah's going to get mad, and who knows what's going to happen. He doesn't want to start disturbing Abdullah. And then his wife says, the contractions are coming very, very strong and very, very close together. I think I'm going to have the baby very soon. Well, the Tati said to himself, I better stay right here and help my wife to have the baby because there's nobody else to do it. And it seems that this Tati knew enough about what he's doing to be able to help his own wife to have the baby, because this is an emergency and this is what he's got to do. How many boys know that sometimes even Hatzalah will help a mommy to have a baby if it's an emergency, because sometimes these things happen. And all of a sudden, kindalach, in the middle of the night, in that little room in Abdullah's house, the mommy had this baby. The baby was born. Which baby was this, by the way? Which number for this family baby was this? Anybody remember which baby it is?
Seven.
Number seven, baby number seven is born. Whether this makes a big difference in the story or not, we'll see. But baby number seven was born, and Baruch Hashem, everything looked good. But it was very dark in the room. The Tati, of course, one good lucky thing that Abdullah let them have in the room, if there was no furniture though, was a little candle. So Baruch Hashem, they had enough light, the Tati had enough light at least to be able to help to see what he's doing. But now all of a sudden that the baby's born, the Tati needs to get water. Because when a baby is born, they need water to wash the new little baby. And there was no water in the room. There was a little candle, but there's no water. And the Tati says to his wife, I'm going to go out in the big yard of the palace. There must be water out there somewhere. There must be a stream or a river or something, because it's a big, gigantic yard. And I'll go and get water, and I'll come back as soon as I can. And he took the candle that was burning in the room, and he goes out of the house, down the steps. He goes as quietly as he can, that he's not going to wake up Abdullah. He tippy-toes. He closes the door very quietly, and he goes out into the yard. Mirz Hashem, tomorrow we will continue with a very interesting, exciting story with palaces and Abdullahs and babies and all these interesting stuff. And so the Tati takes the little candle that was burning in the room, and he has to go out into the yard of the big palace, and he says, there must be water out there. There's so many plants and gardens, and it's such a beautiful garden. It must be that there's water making all those plants grow and all those flowers. But he didn't know exactly where the water was. He's got to go find it. And he tippy-toes out of the room and closes the door very quietly. And then he goes and tippy-toes down the hall. And whose room does he pass by? And he tippy-toes very, very softly so he doesn't wake him up.
Havdalah.
Who was that?
Havdalah.
Havdalah, yeah, Havdalah. Okay, yeah, Abdullah, very good. Abdullah's room, and Abdullah is sleeping with a big smile on his face for two reasons. Number one, tomorrow he's dreaming about how much money he'll get for his palace. And number two, he's so proud of himself that he did a good thing. He put the family in his house. Of course, he doesn't think about them sleeping on the floor in a small room all crowded together, where other rooms are empty with nice beds. But, you know, this is the chesed, the kindness that Abdallah showed the Jewish family and the Tati that he kicked in the stomach earlier in the day. And Abdallah says, this makes up for it. Shh. And the Tati tippy-toes out of the house, out of the big palace, and he goes down the stairs into the garden. And he goes now in the garden looking for water. And he goes down little roads past trees and flowers, and he doesn't find any water. And he goes up and down little roads, and he doesn't find any water. And then the Tati says to himself, probably the water is off the little roads. I'll go through the flowers and through the bushes, way into the garden where the plants are, off of the little roads. Maybe I'll find water over there. And Kinalach, he's lucky it wasn't a windy night because he had his little candle burning. And he goes off the little road into the plants. Of course, he's careful not to step on any flowers. He doesn't want to get Abdallah upset that he might step on a flower. And he goes through the bushes. And all of a sudden, the Tati feels his foot get caught in something. And he trips down and he falls on the ground. I mean, he didn't get hurt, Baruch Hashem, and his foot was okay, but his foot was caught in something. He says, it must be some kind of plants on the ground that my foot got caught on those plants. Let me get my foot out. He tries to pull out his foot, but it's really caught in something. It's hard. Well, he takes his little candle to try to get his foot out to see what is it caught in. And to his surprise, he saw a metal ring, like a round piece of metal that was coming out of the ground. He says, that's funny, a metal ring on the ground stuck right here, and my foot got caught in it? What's it doing here? It looks like some kind of a thing that somebody made, like a special kind of a thing like you pull. It was big that, you know, you'd pull it with your hand or something, like some kind of a special thing. What's it doing here? And it didn't seem like it was laying there. It looks like it was like stuck in the ground. And it was up. It wasn't lying flat. The ring was up. What kind of a ring is this in the middle of nowhere under the plants? Well, he got his foot out. And as he's getting his foot out, so he pulls the ring up with his foot. And his foot comes out. But as he pulled his foot out, the ring came up and he saw there was a chain on the end of the ring. Okay? There's a ring like a handle and there's a chain. Well, the chain now was stuck to the ground. He saw the chain was stuck to the ground on something. And now he's standing up holding the ring and the chain is into the ground. He says, I wonder what's going to happen if I pull this ring with this chain. I wonder if I can pull it out of the ground. And I wonder why it's stuck in the ground. He pulled the ring and the chain, and all of a sudden he hears a sound, like an opening, like a creaking sound, as if a door is opening. Where's the door? It sounds like a creaky door. Like you open up a creaky door in a house and it's opening. All of a sudden, right in front of him, he sees at his feet, the ground is opening up. The ground, the plants are going down, the dirt is going down, and like a door is on the ground flat, an opening in front of him is opening, and a door is opening right at his feet, under the ground. The door is going down. He sees like a big hole, but it's shaped like a door, and the door is opening into the ground. And in front of him, he sees a hole that opened when he pulled the chain with the handle, with the ring. He takes his candle to see what in the world is this, and there are stairs that are going under the ground. Like he opened up a room under the ground with stairs. What in the world is this? Like a secret room in the middle of the garden. I wonder if this is Abdullah's special place or something. But when he goes down, but when he went down a few steps very carefully, he saw all kinds of spider webs and all kinds of dusty stuff that told him that nobody has been down here for years and years and years. This is not a place that's used. It's not a place where people go in and out or even use once in a while. It looks like hundreds of years nobody's been down here. This must be some kind of a secret hiding place. And then he thinks about that palace. It's a very old palace. Abdullah's house, he's not the first one that lived there. It must be hundreds and hundreds of years old. Maybe somebody who lived here long ago. Maybe even before the palace was built, knew about this room. But nobody's been down here for a long time. He goes down the steps with his candle. At first he was afraid. But he says, what do I have to be afraid of? Hashem is with me. Somehow, for whatever reason, Hashem is showing me this place. And I might as well go down the steps to see what's here. Finally, he got to the last step. And his little candle, which was Baruch Hashem still burning, showed him a little room. And then in the room was a table. And on the table were different boxes. On the table. And he goes over to the first box, and he saw it was a beautiful box. It was dusty. Nobody had touched this box in years and years. And it was not locked. It was not locked. It was just closed. He opened it up, and his candle shows him in the box golden coins. Beautiful. Thousands of golden coins in that box. And he opens up the next box, and he sees pearls. You know what pearls are? It's a kind of a jewelry thing that are very expensive and beautiful. These are beautiful pearls, treasures. And the next box, silver things and beautiful jewelry. The Tati has found an underground treasure buried in that room. And this is what he did. He took a few pearls, that's all, just a few, and he put them in his pocket. And he went up the stairs, he closed the door as well as he could, it was under the plants, he put back the chain and he put back the ring, and he looked around. It was already starting to get light outside. He remembered exactly where in the garden he was. And he quickly ran around to find water. Nearby, he found water. And he quickly ran back to the room in the house. And of course, he tippy-toed back into the house, past Abdullah's room. Abdullah was snoring away in his pajamas, in his bed, with a big smile on his face. And he went back to the room, and Baruch Hashem, the baby was fine, and the mommy was fine, but they washed the little baby, and they wrapped up the little baby in whatever blankets or sheets they had, and made the baby nice and comfortable. And the kiddies were sleeping, and the Tati whispered quietly to the mommy about what had happened in the garden while he was out getting the water. And he even showed her the pearls that he had in the pocket. Oi, maybe this is the bracha that Eliyahu Hanavi told us is going to happen to us. Maybe this is the bracha. Well, the Tati says, we can't be sure yet. We'll see what happens. But it certainly doesn't seem that this is any kind of a place that Abdullah even knows about. And now the mommy fell asleep, and the new little baby fell asleep, and the kiddies were asleep, and the tati fell asleep, and they're all sleeping in the little room in the palace of Abdullah. Then finally in the morning they hear a banging on the door, and it's Abdullah. "Wake up! Wake up! Time to leave my palace! You go out, I let you sleep the night, but I don't let you sleep now. It's time to wake up. The whole family, go outside, go outside, go to the bark, go to the bark. I have to get busy, I'm selling my palace today. A new time, a new crowd of people will come to buy the palace. And I don't want you in the palace. Our room's empty. When they're ready to buy the palace, they come in to see all the rooms. I don't want them to see you here. You have to leave. Now get up now and go out." And this is the nice way that Abdullah took his guests out of the palace, wakes them up early in the morning and kicks them out. And the whole family, together with a new baby, they go out into the park. Or as Abdullah would say, the bark. And now, kinnalach, people started coming because they had heard that Abdullah wants to send his to sell his palace. And, you know, and new people came that had more money than the people the other day. And maybe some of the other people came just to see what's going to happen. And all of a sudden now, Abdullah comes out on the porch. Or he would say the porch. He comes out on the porch of his palace. And he starts to bark in the park. Or bark in the bark. "Okay, Abdullah here. You here. We all here. Very good. Time to sell palace. Okay, starting price for palace is like yesterday, 10,000 pound, $10,000. And kinnalach, the people who had come that had more money than yesterday, still it does not seem have 10,000 pounds. It's so much money. And they're scratching their heads. "Can't you make it less? 9,000? Maybe 5,000? Maybe 200? And Abdullah starts to get angry. "I say 10,000 pound, nothing less for my beautiful palace. Who wants to buy?" All of a sudden, kinnalach, the tati of the family was also there amongst the crowd. And he says with a big smile on his face, very loud, 10,001. Now remember what happened the day before when he said 10,001? It wasn't too much fun when he said 10,001, because Abdullah had come down very angry, and we know what he did. We don't even want to say it again. And all of a sudden, Abdullah says, "What? Somebody offering just 10,001? Who's that?" And he looks down and he sees the Jewish man, the woodchopper man, the poor man dressed in shmatis. "What? You again? You are there saying 10,001? You making fun? What? You don't have enough money even to have a place to stay. You sleep in the bark. You dressed in rags and shmates, and you don't even have enough food for your family. And you think that you're saying to me 10,001 pounds for my beautiful palace? You're making fun from me, a joke? You remember what happened to you yesterday?" And Abdullah now storms down from the porch, or whatever he calls it. And he comes down the stairs, and he comes into the bark. And he comes over to the Jewish man, and he says, "I am so angry. I don't know what I'm even going to do to you now." And all of a sudden, the tanya says, "Stop. Before you get too excited, and before your face turns red like a tomato, let me show you that I have the money to pay for your palace. And he takes Abdallah over to the side and he says, I'm going to take something out of my pocket and I want to show it to you. And he takes out from his pocket one of the beautiful pearls. Now, Abdallah apparently knew a beautiful pearl when he saw one. And all of a sudden, Abdallah's eyes are popping out of his head. What? This is a beautiful pearl. It's a pearl, Abdallah. It's a pearl. No, now I say pearl. This is a beautiful pearl. It looks like a beautiful pearl. Wait a minute. How could you, a poor man, have such a beautiful pearl? Well, Abdallah, not only one, and he reaches in his pocket and he takes out another one. Ooh, two pearls. Two pearls is better than one. Maybe it's not real. Maybe it's fake. How could be a poor man like you have in pocket? I'm sorry, pocket. How could poor man like you have in pocket pearls? Impossible. Or you have to say impossible. It's impossible for a man like you to have in pocket pearls. Maybe it's not real. It's fake. And he takes out of his pocket a third pearl. Ooh, three pearls in pocket. Ooh, so beautiful. Beautiful. I could say that. So beautiful. But I don't trust it's real. I must to find out because you dressed in rags and shmatis. And the poor man says, and the woodchopper says, this is just like a costume. This is just like a trick. Because if people knew that I am so rich, that I have such beautiful pearls, I might, chas v'shalom, get robbed. And I don't want to dress up like a rich man that I am. So I dress up like a poor man, and my family dresses up. So we fool everybody. And nobody is going to start up with us. It's just a trick. And Abdallah says, oh, you might be a smart man, but still, I don't know if the pearls is real. So, I don't trust it. Okay, Abdallah, you take the pearls. You go into the marketplace to the experts of jewelry. And you go and check it out with them and find out if it's real or not. If it's real, for the palace, we're going to make a deal. And we're going to sell the pearls, and for the money, we're going to buy the palace. I will buy the palace for my family, because I have more pearls too. Enough to pay for the palace. Okay, Abdallah says, I will take pearls to marketplace, to the experts, to find out if it's real or not. You stay here, I take pearls, I go. I come back and I see. Okay, Abdallah takes now three pearls in his pocket. And of course, as he's walking, he says, I have three pearls in my pocket. Okay, where do I go? Oh, let's see. I go to Ahmad. He's a good jeweler. Ahmad, my friend Ahmad, I go to him. Okay, I go to Ahmad. Okay, tomorrow we go to Ahmad. Now we go back to class. Okay, my good friend Ahmad, he tell me if real. Maybe he will buy it also if it's real. Okay, Abdallah goes to Ahmad. Oh, a good day, Ahmad. A good day, Abdallah. What bring you here? I thought you're selling your palace today. I would like to come to buy your palace, but I don't have enough money. I know you're asking a lot of money. Oh, well, I tell you something. is man there wants to buy ballast, but he doesn't have money, he have burl. But I think it's a toy burl. I don't think it's a real burl. Because it doesn't make sense. He dressed in rags and shmatis, and he has such a beautiful burl. And take a look.